This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Let's bring on Kerry Eggers, our good friend of the Portland Tribune. He's on Twitter, at Kerry Eggers, and he joins us now. Kerry, where's the surprise factor for you that Oregon State potentially could have their fifth win in year two with Jonathan Smith?
Yeah, pretty high level, Brandon. I mean, I picked them to go 3-9. I thought they'd be much improved, but I didn't know if it would show up in the win total. It's turned out their offense is better than we expected. We thought it was going to be good, and the defense has certainly improved. So, I think they've got a decent chance to win tonight.
Yeah, I think that's the next step, too, for him, Kerry, is you've seen him knock off an Arizona or a UCLA, Arizona, getting those wins. But now when you're playing a Washington, it's a bit of a different competition just in terms of the size and the strength up front. How do you think they're ready, maybe leaning back to the experience of what happened against Utah, how they're ready to maybe parlay that into a better effort tonight against one of the bigger teams in the conference?
I think that's a great point, Andy. Yeah, let's not get carried away. They are 4-4, but they got blown out by Utah. They had a difficult time moving the ball against Cal. They got the win. But the strength of schedule beefs up here the last 4 weeks with Washington, Arizona State, Washington State, and Oregon. So this, to me, is the most important game at Oregon State, I would say, in several years.
Yeah.
If they win this game tonight, I think they'll find a way to win one of the last three and go to a bowl game. If they lose, I'm not sure they can win two of the last three. That would mean they'd have to win either at Washington State or Oregon. I'm not sure that's going to happen. So, this is a really big game.
Kerry, and we're talking with Kerry Eggers, columnist for the Portland Tribune. He's heading down to Corvallis, Oregon State, and Washington. Big matchup tonight, 7:30 kick. Kerry, what was your timeline when they hired Smith? What was the timeline in your mind of saying Oregon State can get back to 6, 7, 8, maybe 9 wins, that continuity that they established with Mike? How many years did you think that was going to take for Smith versus is this season changed that timeline for you?
Yeah, it has. I mean, I'd say 3 to 4 years. I thought, again, 3-9 this year. Mm-hmm. Maybe next year with a beefed-up defense, maybe they could win 5 or 6 games. But I am surprised. I'd be remiss if I didn't say that a big factor in all of this has been Brian Lindgren, in my opinion. I think he's done a hell of a job with his play calling. He's developed Jake Luton into a very good quarterback. And the passing game has been, really good. And I think, sure, Jonathan Smith has, a lot of control there. But I think Brian, sometimes we forget the job that he's done.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Luton has had a phenomenal year this year. On his final year of college, it's great to see him have that kind of year. And then looking, too, to the stuff off the field, and, you look no further than their head coach because he experienced it when he was at Oregon State. But, I mean, those Erickson teams, and I'm not saying that Jonathan Smith's going to win a Fiesta Bowl next year, but you go back and they had a really good mixture of kind of homegrown kids that they found maybe some diamonds in the rough, and then supplementing it with a lot of JC transfers and guys from other programs that were coming in. Does it feel to you that Jonathan Smith now as a head coach is kind of attacking that same thing? I mean, you got Hodgins and Jefferson, some of these guys that are homegrown, but they're really hitting the transfer portal and the JC market hard, and I think that's going to pay dividends for him. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. The transfer portal is a perfect for a school like Oregon State. I think they will gain more kids than they'll lose. They'll lose some too, but I think that they have a good atmosphere. There's a good culture now at Oregon State. The kids that come there will want to play there. They'll make them feel welcome. And let's face it, there's a lot of kids around the country that want to try something new that maybe didn't get a good taste of playing somewhere. And frankly, Oregon State still has a lot of need for some good talent.
Kerry, I made the argument yesterday because we'd found out about the transfer, Charles Moore, who came in from Auburn yesterday. We talked about that, and we talked about the transfer portal and how they're using it. And this weekend, they've got some visitors coming to town, a kicker, a wide receiver, a quarterback. But you kind of look at it, I feel like the transfer also helped them this year, not in the playing sense, because Tyshawn Lindsey's been okay and been amazing. Gums got hurt. Roberts is kind of hit and miss. And then Jebby is not starting. But what I think it also did, Kerry, was it gave you depth. And it feels like it also kind of created this competition within the locker room. I wasn't around the 2000 Oregon State team. You would be better suited to talk about that. But do you think that kind of stuff exists for programs?
Well, first of all, Jordan Whitley and Simon Sandberg have
Whitley,
both two transfers have really, you know, both of those guys have paid off this year. But in general, you're talking now. And what was the question? I kind of had my mind focused on that. What were you asking?
Oh, no, just how you can bring in kids and they add immediate help and depth. And even if they don't end up panning out how you think they will, it feels like this Oregon State team has a lot of players that have developed and gotten better competition in the locker room.
One of the focuses, Brandon, too, is getting guys with 3 years of eligibility rather than one or two.
Yeah.
A couple of their guys just have one, a couple of them two, but the majority, like Jebbia and Addison Gumbs, those guys have 3 years to play. So, yeah, absolutely, those guys provide immediate help, but also, you know, you're getting, like you said, the depth is stronger, and you're getting some guys that are going to play down the road.
Yeah. But what kind of atmosphere are you expecting tonight, Kerry? I know this is one, as you mentioned, it's the biggest game, it feels like, for Oregon State in a while. There's a lot of optimism around the program sooner than maybe some thought, and you got a legitimate chance to make a bowl game if you're to win, as you mentioned tonight. And I've seen some former players kind of take to Twitter and say, hey, let's pack Reeser. I know it's a Friday night. What kind of atmosphere are you expecting tonight?
And also, Andy, the weather, it's 65 degrees right now. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Perfect.
But I don't know, because, listen, Friday night is high school night. It's the first night of the playoffs. Will some people not come down for that? I think the student section is going to be absolutely jammed. I'd expect that. I think there'll be several thousand Washington fans probably, or at least a couple thousand that'll be there. So I would expect somewhere, you hope, close to 40,000. I wouldn't think it'd be more than that.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to make a bowl, Kerry? Can they get two more wins with the remaining schedule?
Well, in that I picked them to lose this game, I'm saying no. I don't think they're going to do it, but I wouldn't put it past them. Again, this game, and it's a winnable game. If they can get this, then they've got. I think they'll have the momentum to probably beat Arizona State, and then I think I just think it's going to be tough for them to win in the Palouse against that offense, and then Oregon is, you know, one of the better teams in the country. I don't see him winning down at Eugene.
Kerry Agers is our guest columnist for the Portland Tribune. He's headed down to Corvallis, Oregon State, Washington tonight. Beavs looking for their fifth win against the Washington Huskies. You know, this article came out, Kerry, and I'm curious your thoughts on it, that Pac-12 attendance is down more than any other Power 5. Oregon State, in this region, we tend to talk about it a little more because their attendance is a little down compared to their rival just down south in Eugene. What do you think it's going to take to get attendance back for Oregon State to what it once was? Or do you think those days might be behind us given all of the luxuries of staying at home and watching a game?
Just what you said. I think that's the case. Also, the cost is prohibitively higher for some people. You know, you almost have to have a PSL to get a, you know, good seats. Now, that might change. Listen, you know how it is at Oregon. They pack them for most games because they're winners. If you can get to 8, 9, 10 wins, they'll have a chance. But I don't know, Brandon, that they'll ever average 45,000, or at least it's going to take something really high, because people just, you know, they're staying at home more, and they just don't want to deal with the traffic. As you guys know, the night games are a real problem in Pullman, Eugene, and Corvallis in particular. So I think there's just a lot of things going the other way to hurt the crowds.
All right, there we go. Great stuff from our good friend Kerry Agers, columnist of the Portland Tribune. You can find him on Twitter at Kerry Agers, portlandtribune.com. He's at the top. You'll see his page there. Kerry, have a safe drive down. Thanks for hopping on with us, and enjoy that game tonight. Hopefully it's a good one.
You're not coming, Brandon?
I'm not. It's my anniversary, so the wife does not want to go to a football game, unfortunately.
Oh, I would have thought that would have been a perfect night for her.
I'm with you. I just overlooked the date. I didn't put it two and two together.
Okay. Take care, man.
There we go. Good stuff from Kerry Agers, Portland Tribune columnist. He's headed down to that game. Oregon State. Look, this is a big moment, and the news came out not only about Charles Moore, who was the transfer from Auburn Dirt.
Yes.
The news came out about some players who will be at tonight's game. So Jack Sears, the former USC quarterback who actually played for the Trojans this year.
He's one of the higher rated quarterbacks coming out of high school, I think, in the class of 2017.
I think he's 3 or 4 in the class of 17 at quarterbacks. So he's coming in because Luton's gone. And, you know, look, they're going for insurance. I don't have a problem with this, and we can talk about
this
next.
Drive the competition, man. You can never have too many quarterbacks.
Theo Howard, who some of you may remember seeing that name in a UCLA uniform, wide receiver, and I forget the kicker's name, but a kicker from Arizona State is also in attendance along with the Charles Moore transfer.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.